Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, November 19th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
First Lady Grace Mugabe is back on the road, telling the people of Mbare Christmas has come early for them and that her husband supports her rallies and political activities.
35. Christmas has come early for you, the people of Mbare, because your mother has brought you a lot of goodies, including rice.
Opposition MDCT parliamentarian Godfrey Sithole says Zimbabweans are worried about President Mugabe's state of health following the wide distribution of video footages showing he's now struggling to walk.
I hate to ask that question because Zimbabwe is actually declining in terms of the economy and also the political environment is deteriorating under the leadership of President Robert Mugabe.
And parliamentarians across the political divide are united by the motion calling for Health Minister Deputy Barrenyatwa to resign and face the music for illegally benefiting from PISMAS funds.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
That's the song Unconquerable being blasted as First Lady Grace Mugabe arrived in Mbare as she resumed her rallies at the Chishawasha grounds today, bringing the high-density suburb to a standstill. Businesses were forced to shut down as the First Lady took over. Ms. Mugabe told supporters that everything that she is doing politically has been sanctioned by her aging husband. She walked back on her criticism of the country's Liberation War veterans, telling her supporters that she respects the war vets. At her last rally, she took a swipe at the war veterans, saying there was nothing special about being a war veteran. Ms. Mugabe clarified her position, saying she only has problems with war veterans who are pushing factional agendas in ZANU-PF, adding those she targeted and threatened to demonstrate against her, saying, quote, I like war veterans. I stay with the greatest war veteran at home.
The First Lady touched on familiar themes such as factionalism and corruption and took a swipe at the West for allegedly trying to destabilize the country, though through unspecified activities. On the controversial tractors that she has been dishing out at her rallies, the First Lady said she is distributing them to cooperatives, adding they are not being given for free. Mrs. Mugabe has taken flak for distributing tractors acquired by the government from Brazil at party rallies. Mrs. Mugabe cast herself as a person of the people, saying she had brought food to the masses.
Christmas has come early for you, the people of Mbare, because your mother has brought you a lot of goodies, including rice, 150 kilograms of it, and each person will get at least 3 kilograms. So Christmas has indeed come early.
There was drama when Ms. Mugabe introduced Mbare MP Tendai Sawanu and urged the people to forgive and work with them. ZANU-PF supporters in the province wanted him out after being suspended for 5 years from the party for working with ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. She also spoke about factionalism in ZANU-PF.
Zvakaitika ndezvekuti factionalism yamo muZANU-PF. Hakuna nyaya iripo factionalism. Vari
Factionalism does exist in ZANU-PF. Those who are promoting factionalism know themselves. Some of them I told them off. That's when I talked about some Iran war veterans who are being used in the party to fund factionalism. That is what I am against.
Political analyst Pedse Ruanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, says Ms. Mugabe's mission is to show Mr. Mugabe is still very much in charge.
I think it is a program that is done with the full knowledge and agreement of President Robert Mugabe. And anything that the First Lady is doing largely should be understood as a project of the president and with the blessings of the president. Fundamentally, to send a message that he is in charge and that he is not willing to relinquish power, and sending a message that the throne is not up for grabs, that there won't be any, you know, kind of handover power. And I think largely that the president will die in office. The president will not leave any power to anybody. So he is exercising state power with the assistance of the wife.
Do you think this message is being heard loud and clear by those who are itching to succeed Mr. Mugabe?
Without doubt, I think those who are, you know, touted as the potential successors are getting the message without any shadow of doubt, and that there won't be any changes in state power until President Mugabe decides or if he leaves us. So I think that's the message. But also within that message, we also see a message of you know, exercise of power and the issue of ambition by the First Lady, but the extent of that ambition is not known what she really wants to do. But I doubt very much that she would want to be the president of this country. I don't think she will.
That was political analyst Pedse Ruanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Opposition MDCT parliamentarian Godfrey Sithole says Zimbabweans are worried about President Robert Mugabe's state of health following reports that he is now struggling to walk. According to a parliamentary newsletter, The Hansard, Sithole expressed concern about the president's health when he posed a question to Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa in Parliament yesterday, in which he quizzed him about the Zimbabwean leader's recent stumble at a recent trip to India. In his response, Mnangagwa said the president is healthier than Sithole. He did not elaborate. Sithole, who says the country needs a leader to stay it from its current social, economic and political problems, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube his question was genuine as Zimbabweans are worried about Mr. Mugabe's health.
I hate to ask that question because Zimbabwe is actually declining in terms of economy and also the political environment is deteriorating under the leadership of President Robert Mugabe. Actually, when he took over power in 1980, we were one of the strongest economies in the world. And as I'm speaking right now, we are now the second poorest nation in Africa, despite the fact that in terms of underground natural resources, we are the second richest country in the world. And we attribute all this to old age, because if you look at the national pension scheme, the retirement age normally is 60 years, and the life expectancy in Zimbabwe is 54 years. And we are having a situation where we are trying to put new wine in old skins. President Mugabe is now old, he needs to rest, even according to our African culture. He just has to rest and please pass the baton to the younger generation. Because he now has a generational mandate to ensure that we have new ideas that can push the country forward.
So now you are actually concerned about what you've been seeing on television, you know, his missteps and so forth. Tell us a bit about this.
We actually read about it and we saw it in the media that he fell at the airport, at Harare International Airport, and in India. He also almost fell, and in my personal opinion, I think that was actually attributed to his old age. And even if you look at the way he is now running the nation, you look at the cabinet that he has, there's not even a single minister who is below the age of 35. So I think all these things, they can be solved if he retires.
That was Godfrey Sithole, an MDCT parliamentarian, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. But ZANU-PF member Effort Nkomo says Sithole's question was unjustified.
I don't believe or agree to what he's saying, because as long as the leader feels he can lead his people, let him lead up to the time he says so. But not for us to talk otherwise or for anybody to think he should step down. Actually, his party has confidence in him. If you're in the opposition, you'll always oppose any, so it's normal.
What normally prompts people to actually talk like this, Mr. Nkomo? Because we know that there's no smoke without fire, right?
You know, people say life begins at 40. And they're thinking when you're at 40, you should remain at 40. But you're a human being. You know, we should be appreciative of the fact that God has given in life. We must be thankful to the Almighty.
That was ZANU-PF member Effort Nkomo speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Mr. Mugabe fell at Zimbabwe's international airport a couple of months ago and also appeared in some videos, almost stumbling a few days ago when he met a Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan at the G20 summit in the European nation.
The state of affairs at Ruange Thermal Power Station is rotten. That from a member of the Parliamentary Committee on Mines and Energy after touring the station this week. The committee also visited Bulawayo, and today it was in Kariba to ascertain and assess the power crisis affecting Zimbabwe. The member criticized the management at Ruange, saying they were not doing their job properly. For perspective, we reached economist Masimba Kuchera, who says the criticism is not surprising.
Well, I think it confirms the concern that us as citizens have in as far as management of parastatals is concerned. It's apparent that government does not put technically sound and competent people in influential positions to make decisions, but they put in political cronies and political connections, to the extent that when you look at some of the composition of the board, you may fail to, you easily understand the problems that we are facing in terms of a board like that could be chaired by a cleric instead of an engineer. And some of these issues hinder the progress of any parastatal. So until the government changes the way it manages parastatals and puts technically competent people, then we are going to have that serious problem. And it's now manifesting in the production of power. It's manifesting in several other areas where government has simply neglected their duty.
Christmas is upon us, and the power crisis continues. What does this mean for Zimbabweans?
Well, we encourage Zimbabweans to look for alternative power, because what it means is things are going to get worse before they get better.
Economist Masimba Kuchera in Switzerland with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Tom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
ZANU-PF lawmakers call for Health Minister David Parinyatwa's dismissal over Premier Service Medical Aid Society funds.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
France has confirmed that the suspected ringleader of last week's Paris attack was killed in a police raid on yesterday, and officials say he has been implicated in 4 of 6 failed attacks in the country this year.
Islamic State released a new video threatening New York City. It shows what appears to be an explosive device, which is then zipped inside someone's leather jacket. Next, the video shows shots of New York's famous Times Square.
And first grade students at 63 public schools in Malawi are now using iPads as part of a new initiative to improve learning. The goal is to reach 3 million learners in 5,300 government primary schools across the country. It is also aimed at addressing challenges like textbook shortages and overcrowding. But some educators are questioning if technology is the answer.
A motion calling on Health Minister David Parirenyatwa to appear before a parliamentary committee to answer allegations that he illegally benefited from the financially strapped Premier Service Medical Aid Society, PISMAS, appears to have united legislators across the political divide. But the question that some are asking is whether the unity will prevail till the minister, alleged to have been given an advance payment of $77,000 from the cash-strapped Medical Aid Society, resigns. ZANU-PF MPs Joseph Chinotimba and Fortune Chasi, contributing to a motion moved by MDCT legislator Eddie Cross, agreed that it would be improper if all members of the House did not unite in calling for Parirenyatwa to be held accountable. For analysis, we reached independent analyst Angliston Sibanda and MDCT MP Prince Dubeko Sibanda, who sits on the Health Services Parliamentary Committee that is trying to summon Parirenyatwa. Dubeko Sibanda says the minister must appear before the committee because he faces serious allegations.
In this instance, we are talking of a minister that is supervising a public institution in which he is supposed to ensure that the interests of the public are respected. But instead of respecting the interests of the public, it is seen that he is serving himself. So, we could actually ordinarily say that Honorable Parirenyatwa was found with his hand in the pot. He was stealing from what is totally broken down. And the extension of that is that Dr. Parirenyatwa has not only done this only for the first time. It appears that for a long time, Dr. Parirenyatwa has been drawing loans and monies from the public, Medical Aid Society, monies that are not accounted, monies that is not entitled to. And therefore, the kind of conduct that he has involved himself in deserves that he has got to quit public office in shame of whatever he has done. So that's the motion that we have in Parliament. It has been debated. It continues next week.
Mr. Angliston Sibanda, what is your take on this?
I think first and foremost, we like to applaud the Parliament of Zimbabwe for taking that stance, especially the Honorable Eddie Cross and his counterpart. However, it is long overdue because the culture of looting in Zimbabwe, what Dr. Parirenyatwa did or is alleged to have done, is actually a culture embedded in the Zimbabwean society. We have lost what is called integrity. It is common in quite a number of institutions. There are quite a number of people that are doing that. And just like an example of malpractices, you have a situation where you have somebody who's a retired brigadier who is earning money from the War Veterans Pension Fund and also earning pension from the Army, and is also employed at the NRZ. So to them, it's nothing new, and I'm actually wondering whether ZANU-PF MPs will support the motion. So that it's a culture that is embedded in the Zimbabwean governance system, in the society at large.
Mr. Matubeko Sibanda, what do you make of Mr. Angliston Sibanda's suspicions that ZANU-PF MPs might not support
I'm sure that his fears are not really unfounded. I think when we look into the history of ZANU-PF since 1980, for 40 years that they've been in power in this country, we have never had a minister that has ever resigned from government because of misconduct or because of corrupt behavior.
That was independent analyst Prince Dubeko Sibanda, and you also had, in fact, that was MDCT legislator Prince Dubeko Sibanda. You also heard from independent analyst Angliston Sibanda.
After independence in 1980, the government embarked on a massive school building project to ensure its policy of education for all meant every child would attain at least primary schooling. Fast forward to 2000, when the government embarked on the chaotic and often bloodland reforms, gains made in the past were reversed, with Harare failing to build schools in the resettled areas, forcing many children to drop out of school. But some private companies like Delta are now stepping in to close the gap, as Arthur Chugoriwa reports.
In its quest to give back, Delta, one of the few successful companies operating in Zimbabwe, is helping communities to build classrooms at satellite schools in newly resettled areas, as the case kept government fails to deliver. Certain parents were now expected to build their own schools. This week, Delta opened two blocks they built at a cost of $50,000 at Mukeza School in Makonde District. They also donated 50 desks and 100 chairs to the school. Speaking during the handover ceremony, Delta Corporation General Manager for Soft Drinks, Moses Gandiza, said investing in education is investing in the future. Gandiza said the Mukeza School is the first school in the country to benefit from the Operation Block project that is designed to improve sanitation at the school. Besides building classrooms blocks for primary schools, Gandiza said Delta provides bursaries and scholarships for less privileged students in the country who also has great academic potential. Mukeza Primary School was established in 1998 by a white commercial farmer, Mr. Peter Pretorius, to cater for his farm to workers' children with only two trained teachers and two untrained teachers. But today, the school boasts of 667 people from early child development, ECD, to grade 7 and 17 teachers. The handover of the Delta Block exposed the land reform program chaotic nature when the school headmaster, Philip Chikwariro, he must be taking over part of the school by a local war veteran. But in his speech, guest speaker, Marcella and the West Acting Education Director, Mutineri Pindewere, tasked the war veteran and the warring parties to find an amicable solution. Parents in Makonda are celebrating for now, and they hope more companies will follow Delta in plowing back their profits into struggling rural communities. Reporting for Studio 7 in Makonde, Maternal and West Province, and Ata Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, Zimbabwe is introducing a new land tax for resettled black farmers, many of whom are already struggling. Some have been teaming up with white commercial farmers displaced more than a decade ago by the controversial land reform program. Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare.
The government says it will start charging black farmers who have benefited from Zimbabwe's land reform program between $3 and $10 a hectare per year in January 2016. The government is looking for revenue amid a seemingly sinking economy. The move is not worth because the land tax was one of the reasons that nationalists like President Robert Mugabe started the War of Liberation in the 1960s. Under Zimbabwe's land reform program, which began in year 2000, the government confiscated thousands of white-owned commercial farms and redistributed the land to black farmers. Mr. Mugabe said it was aimed at correcting colonial imbalances. But because they lacked financial capital and equipment. The newly resettled farmers have struggled with the demands of commercial farming. To help themselves, many have started partnering with displaced white commercial farmers, employing them as land managers or consultants. Douglas Mombeshora, Zimbabwe's Lands and Resettlement Minister, says this is illegal.
To this we say no. While we understand that as government we have not been able to fully support our farmers and financial institutions are not keen to lend money to them, we don't see subleasing as a solution. Government has agreed to joint ventures, partnerships and contract farming, provided the farmers bring their applications to the minister for approval.
He says those applications will not be approved if one of the partners is a former white commercial farmer. Still, the arrangements have continued to spread since about 2009. One farmer who grows soybeans and tobacco just outside Harare and who asked that his name not be used because of the sensitivity nature of the issue says he got his 10 hectares in year 2000 as part of the land reform program. He says he and other black farmers have no collateral to get loans, but the former commercial farmers had established relationships with banks, so they teamed up and they get shares in the farming businesses. That way, he added, I know at the end of the season that I have something and the white farmer has something as well. The Commercial Farmers Union of Zimbabwe, which represents 6,000 farmers displaced from their land, told VOA the government is not responding to their request for authorization to farm. Critics of the land reform program say the policy was meant to punish the farmers who were supporting the political opposition. Detractors blame the land reform program for perennial food shortages. The United Nations says 1.5 million people in Zimbabwe may need food aid this year. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The American people stand in solidarity with the people of France in the wake of the recent and tragic terror attack in Paris. 129 people were killed in a string of coordinated assaults across the city Friday evening. U.S. President Barack Obama called the attacks an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians.
This is an attack not just on Paris, it's an attack not just on the people of France, but this is an attack on all of humanity and the universal values that we share.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry echoed the president's remarks, noting these are heinous, evil, vile acts. Those of us who can must do everything in our power to fight back against what can only be considered an assault on our common humanity. France is our oldest ally, said President Obama. The French people have stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States time and again. President Obama noted that the American people draw strength from the French people's commitment to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness.
Now, we want to be very clear that we stand together with them in the fight against terrorism and extremism. We're going to do whatever it takes to work with the French people and with nations around the world to bring these terrorists to justice and to go after any terrorist networks that go after our people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with you, the listeners, about the issues of excelling women in Zimbabwe, in particular the record-making female pilots.
Now to recap today's top stories.
First Lady Grace Mugabe is back on the road telling the people of Mbare Christmas has come early for them.
And parliamentarians across the political divide are united by the motion calling for Health Minister David Parirenyatwa to resign and face the music for illegally benefiting from PISMA's funds.
And opposition MDCT parliamentarian Godfrey Sithole says Zimbabweans are worried about President Mugabe's state of health.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.